Good morning, everyone. It is 10 a.m. on April 10th, 2024. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchek, so we have a quorum. Would you start off by joining me as we pledge our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, everyone. And for opening comments, I've got a little bit different situation than normal because I actually brought a guest. And kind of excited, and not right now, I'm not even remembering how I became aware of this because they're really not even out yet. But the National Small Business Administration does an awards thing, and I mean, we're not talking about thousands of these. I think there's like dozens or a small amount of these awards. And this will happen during the week of April 28th through May 4th. The way the Small Business Administration Administrator put it, the award winners embody the grit and determination that power our nation's economy. And also went on to say that the award winners exemplify excellence, innovation, and commitment, and the SBA is proud to showcase their incredible achievement and impact on the economies, on their communities, and on our economy. So the North Dakota winner is Sherry Harms, the president of Leonardite Products. And for any listeners who aren't familiar, in North Dakota, by law, Leonardite is classified as coal, so she actually operates under the jurisdiction of our coal reclamation program and has done so successfully for some time. Since she's here, she can correct me if I get any details wrong, but acquired Leonardite Products in 2008 after the previous owners decided to sell following an electrical fire that disabled the original processing facility. She's held many positions in the past, including the development director of the North Dakota Trade Office. And again, for listeners outside of our agency, Leonardite is used as an oil drilling fluid additive, and it's often used as in soil to aid in crop production and healthier soils. The primary Leonardite Products customer is a fertilizer or drilling fluids manufacturer, but they also export globally. And Sherry, in this article, said that it's always been my goal throughout my career to make North Dakota stronger by building a primary sector business. She also mentioned she feels as a small state, exporting is a key component to success in North Dakota, and that we can bring new money into the state and help the economy and provide jobs. So since this is an entity that operates under our regulation, and this is just such a tremendous achievement and award for Leonardite Products, for Sherry Harms, and for North Dakota, I wanted to make this announcement here at the commission and have you up here, Sherry. So thank you for being here. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert.
Good morning and congratulations, Sherry. Job well done. I have a couple things. At the last commission meeting, I talked about April is Safe Digging Month, and for the whole month of April, I am going to bring that up because it is so important, and you will see from my portfolio, sadly, we have two additional cases this this week on damage prevention. So it's not to chastise anyone, but it's just to say the importance of call before you dig, because you don't know, when in doubt, if you don't know, if you can't say what's beneath me, please call. So I'm going to say pause before you dig, call. The response is very quick, but the safety of individuals is the utmost important. Equipment can be replaced, people can't. So please call before you dig. I will be a walking billboard this month on call before you dig. And our staff does a wonderful job, and I know the commissioners are all behind it. So if you have the opportunity to stress call before you dig, I'm going to ask you to do so. So another good news is under our pipeline safety, every time this time of the year, our safety program goes through an audit. And we received our first response of the audit on what we call our record review. And I am so proud of the staff. We all are of the staff that we received the first PHMSA evaluation on the record program audit review. We got a 50 out of 50. So that is absolutely kudos to the great work of Caleb, Lincoln, and Brandon, and our program director, Conrad. I know my fellow commissioners have congratulated them, but I also want to publicly say our record program audit received a 50 out of 50. We will now have an on-site review where a PHMSA evaluator will be on-site and take the staff out and actually watch and conduct a hands-on safety review. Last year, proudly, we received 100 out of 100, and I'm looking forward to achieving that again this year. So job well done to the staff and the program that we are doing to keep people safe. That's all I have.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for highlighting Sherry. Sherry, I know this has been a labor of love, maybe not always of love, but I know it's with any business success, there's so many challenges along the way, and you've shown just an amazing ability to adapt and change and innovate to get to the point that you are. So, gosh, congratulations. That's really awesome. I'm really happy for you in getting that at recognition and having this business so successful now. So I wanted to make one other comment. On last week, I was invited, a long time ago, I was invited, and it took us a while to get the date settled, to speak just up in Minot at a Kiwanis group. And they just wanted to hear about the PSC. And so when I went there, I talked about how I used our new slogan. It's not really an official slogan, but I love it. And Randy came up with it, that we touch every consumer every day. And then I went through, and the people in the audience were like, what? No way. The Public Service Commission, you don't touch us every day. And so I went through each of our various programs, whether it was economic regulation in PUD or siting, reclamation in the coal mining and AML, weights and measures, pipeline safety. Did I forget one? I think that's railroad. Yes. And they talked about, like, you know, how many times each day they would have been touched by the Public Service Commission. And they were fascinated that it was, you know, at least once per program that we manage and oversee. So I think it was, they were very engaged. They asked tons of questions. And it was just really gratifying to be able to highlight how our great employees are out there doing their work every day, having a meaningful impact in the citizens' lives here and helping to ensure safe, orderly, fair commerce and communities, good power, affordable, reliable, all those good things. So kudos to our team, and Randy, to you for bringing home such a wonderful new slogan for us.
Okay, the last thing before we get in, Sherry, thank you for being here. you're certainly welcome to stay. We don't have any secrets here. That's why we're broadcasting. we're blessed to have the press come and our meetings. But we're also not offended if people leave when their stuff is done and don't want to spend. It'll probably be a good hour and a half. So we're not offended if you leave. So we touch people every day, but it's not necessarily exciting.
I'll be back for my own hearing.
Okay.
Thanks, Sherry.
We have three items on the consent calendar, so I move approval of those items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
Sorry. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my first one here. I move the commission approve revision number 12 to surface coal mining permit NACC-1302 held by Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, to revise the post-mining topography in portions of Section 1 of Township 142 North, Range 89 West, and Section 6 and 7 of Township 142 North, Range 88 West. In addition to that, to revise the reclamation schedule and variance map, revise the operation and reclamation plans, and design plans for three sedimentation ponds, and update the worst-case bond cost estimate as provided in Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, Revision 12, Permit NACC-1302, Application, Case Number RC-22-233.
Second.
So on March 17th of 2022... Coyote Creek filed the application for revision number 12 to revise the post-mining topography in portions of three sections, revise the reclamation schedule and variance map, revise the operation and reclamation plans, and add design plans for three sedimentation ponds, and update the worst-case bond estimate. With these three orders that I'm bringing today, I just want to make clear here. We have these mine permits renewals every 5 years. In between, there are sometimes revisions. That's where we're at here with Coyote Creek. There's not going to be a renewal following. This is a revision along the way. So this revision clarifies the management and timeline for seeding native grassland, and it adds variance areas number 7 and number 8. Variance area number 7 is about 21 acres where there was not adequate room in 2022 to redistribute all the box cut spoil that was mined in 2019. That is the first stuff that gets excavated, and there's not a hole already there to put it in. Variance area number 8 is about 27 acres, and that's adjacent to federal coal. So this variance area is a direct result of, again, delayed federal mine plan approval to mine the federal coal. This variance area will be reclaimed when mining is able to proceed on the federal coal tract. They do finally have that approval now, but they just it got delayed. The revision was deemed a significant revision to this permit and was subject to the public notice requirements. Coyote Creek submitted affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices.
I didn't understand that.
Well, so they we notified the appropriate agencies, the permit area landowners, and advisory committees of the revision applications. I hope that clears that up. Sorry. An informal conference was requested by landowners Casey and Julie Voigt with concern about dust, projected topsoil and subsoil respread depths, reclamation variances, and the timing of revegetation. The informal conference was held on October 12, 2022. The hearing officer issued the findings and recommended order stating that Coyote Creek shall provide a final native grassland seeding timeline for delayed native grassland seedings, describe how these variance areas will be managed, and provide a map depicting variance from the three-year seeding rule prior to Revision 12 approval. This information was provided within the Revision 12 application and deemed satisfactory by the Commission. the bond here was increased to just over $25.2 million and is sufficient for the proposed mining and reclamation operations in the bond area. The reclamation division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends that it be approved, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission conditionally approve revision 28 to surface coal mining permit NACT-0201 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to identify the next five-year coal removal areas and update mining and reclamation plans and other sections of the permit for the next permit term in Coteau Properties Company, Revision 28, Permit NACT-0201, Application Case Number RC-23-331.
Second.
So this is another revision like the previous one. However, this is at the end or beginning of a new permit renewal cycle. So this will actually be followed by a renewal of this same permit area if this motion passes. So to explain it, on October 13th of last year, we received Coteau's application for Revision 28. This revision identifies the next five-year coal removal areas and addresses items that were identified as requiring updating or modification. The revision also includes plans to mine federally owned coal. Coteau applied for Revision 28 and the corresponding renewal number 4, since mining is scheduled to continue in the existing permit area for at least the next 20 years, probably longer. The surface and coal ownership information of the permit and adjacent area and related lease information was updated. The pit layout and facilities map was revised, and the coal production schedule was updated. The revision includes a variance from the contemporaneous reclamation requirements, and an existing variance area was expanded to include the 2021 coal removal area. The land associated with these variance areas is owned by Coteau. The sedimentation ponds and sumps construction and reclamation schedules were updated. Post-mining land use plans were updated to reclaim native grassland rather than tame pasture land in a portion, and design plans were added for two new wetlands. This now provides detailed mining plans to mine some additional acreage of federal coal. However, again, federal coal cannot be mined until the Secretary of Interior approves a federal mine plan. So special condition number 1 prohibits Coteau from removing overburden or coal from federal coal tracks until the Department of Interior approves the mine plan. Surface disturbance is allowed on these lands to the extent necessary for mining adjacent private lands. Coteau either owns or has secured surface leases on these tracks of federal coal. This condition was in the previous version too. Adequate performance bond is currently in effect for the mine-wide consolidated bonding plan at the Freedom Mine, and that was just updated last June. This and other permits at the Freedom Mine are covered by self and collateral bonds totaling $200 million, and that's nearly $7 million over the current case, the current worst-case bond scenario. So sometimes there's little adjustments, and people might question, like, oh, why doesn't the bond increase? Well, at this point, they're $7 million over our worst-case scenario. This revision was considered a significant revision application and was subject to the public notice requirements. Coteau submitted affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committees. We received one technical deficiency comment from the North Dakota Department of Water Resources, which has been addressed. No other comments or objections to this revision application were received. Management of cultural resources in the permit is being conducted in accordance with the cultural resource management plan that was accepted by the North Dakota Historic Preservation Officer and BLM in 2003. I remember working on that as a state senator, proudly. Special condition number 5 is being added, which states no SPGM removal or other mining-related disturbance is allowed within 100 feet of any eligible cultural resource site until Coteau obtains approval for disturbance of the site from SHPO. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends conditional approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission approve renewal number 4 to surface coal mining permit NACT-0201 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years or until April 14th, 2029 in Coteau Properties Company renewal 4 permit NACT-0201 application case number RC-23-332.
Second.
So this is the renewal to the same permit that we just revised. And while, again, this renewal is until April 14th of 2029, as I mentioned in the previous motion, their plan is to be mining out there into the mid-2040s. So this will be renewed again, hopefully, multiple times in the future. I'm not going to repeat everything I just went through on the revision. I just will highlight a couple things here for the record. On October 13th, we received Coteau's application for renewal 4 to continue mining operations within the permit area until, as I said, April 14th, 2029. Permit 0201 covers all or portions of 32 sections in Mercer County, totaling over 17,000 acres. Coteau applied for this renewal because coal removal will continue, as I said, for many years. They've submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notice. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. The Department of Water Resources provided that technical deficiency, as I mentioned, which has been addressed. We received no other comments or objections. And the bond, again, is in place, over $200 million. The Reclamation Division has completed its review and recommends approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, and I will turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Central Specialties Incorporated Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-23-303.
Second.
On August 30th, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation by CSI. So the staff sent out their letter and received correspondence back. And based upon the investigation, the violation occurred. Just some history on it. On March 14th, CSI provided an excavation notice to North Dakota One Call with work to begin on March 17th, 2023 for road construction on State Highway 85. The location is due north of Watford City. Between March 17th and June 29th, CSI renewed and updated the excavation notice with North Dakota One Call 3 additional times. And with the last notice renewal with the expiration date of July 20th, 2023. On August 25th, in the evening, Kinder Morgan received notification from North Dakota One Call of an emergency locate placed by a reservation telephone cooperative, which identified the type of work to be done was a emergency repair of cut fiber optic. CSI did the excavation within 15 feet of Kinder Morgan's high-pressure steel natural gas pipeline and struck reservation telephone company's fiber optic line, causing approximately $7,000 in damage, and they have paid for that. The excavation occurred 36 days after the notice expired, and there was no evidence of CSI contacting North Dakota One Call prior to continuing their excavation, after already contacting them three times. So CSI and the advocacy staff discussed a settlement agreement, and the consent agreement between CSI and our advocacy staff was assessed a civil penalty of $2,000, and I want to go through it a little bit because I did ask staff about how they arrived at the $2,000, and I thank staff for their diligence. $1,000 was for the violation, but they added another $1,000 for based on CSI's prior violation. And I think that that is good, looking at assessing that $1,000 for their prior history. But I do not support suspending the $1,000. When I looked at this case individually, and I thank the staff for assessing that, but I think if we're going to assess $1,000 for a history on violation, that violation, that amount should be sustained and not suspended. And in this case, again, with the history of CSI being in business in the state of North Dakota, doing this work and placing a call three times, but then not following through, they had a good pattern there. So I thank the work staff for their work, but I cannot support suspending the $1,000. I would approve that they be assessed the total amount.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So, Sherry, that's part of the consent agreement, though, right? The suspension?
Yep.
So they'd have to go back and get a new one.
That's correct.
Well, I agree with you. I think that the full penalty should be assessed since there was a prior violation and it was a substantial danger being just 15 feet from a high-pressure natural gas pipeline. I mean, again, it's never okay not to call before you dig. It has to be done every single time. So,
as portfolio holder, you brought this because they had reached a consent agreement, but you're asking for us to reject the motion, correct?
That's correct. In talking with the staff and how they arrived at the $2,000, I do appreciate their effort on assessing that $1,000 for the history, but because of the history of the violation, I don't think $1,000 should be suspended. That should be upheld. So I, as portfolio holder, yes, Commissioner Chrisman, I am rejecting this. I'm rejecting it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay.
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 The motion is defeated.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Forest River Colony Damage Prevention Enforcement case number DM-23-305.
Second.
On September 12th of 2023, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from North Dakota pipeline company Enbridge alleging a violation by Forest River Colony for a failure to contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning an excavation. So on August 1st, Forest River began an excavation, and they were demolishing a building located in Michigan, North Dakota. On August 7th, a representative from Enbridge, working in Michigan, observed the excavation working, and it is near the right-of-way of Enbridge Line 81, a 16-inch steel petroleum pipeline. And the excavation consisted of demolishing a structure along the removal of the structure's foundation. Enbridge representative noticed that Forest River notified a representative of Forest River of the requirement to place a notice prior to beginning any excavation, and the Enbridge representative also stayed on site until the debris had been cleared because of the pipeline right away. Staff and Forest River engaged in good settlement discussion. Forest River stated that admitted that they demolished a building 40 feet north of Enbridge Pipeline in that forest, and they acknowledged that they did not even place the call. So based upon the consent agreement between Forest River and advocacy staff, a settlement discussion occurred, and Forest River is assessed a civil penalty of $500 with $250 suspended on the condition that they commit no further violation within 5 years, and that they should remit the $250 civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of the service of this order. And I do support this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Saver Switch Tariff Modification, tariff case number PU-23-337.
Second.
On October 27th of 2023, NSP filed an application for approval for modifications to the residential controlled air conditioning and water heater rider for the commercial and industrial controlled air conditioning rider. On the 29th, the commission did issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and no responses were received. On January 16th, 2024, the commission held an informal hearing with NSP. And on the 5th of March, NSP did file a tariff revision with clarifying language. So what this rider is, what NSP is asking for is their prior to increase the demand response to achieve a 60% load reduction in the building's air conditioning load from a 50% reduction to a 60%. And in addition, during a NERC level 2 emergency, NSP proposes to cycle participating air conditioners up to an 80% reduction, and with the interruptions not to exceed 300 hours per calendar year. There will also be a $10 a month discount for participating customers on their bill during the months of June through September. And this is a voluntary program, and during the informal hearing, some of the takeaways is that this reduction, maybe we might seem limited because of the efficiencies of what we're seeing with the air conditioning units. And when we talked about the NERC Level 2 emergency response, I believe in the past couple of years, there have not been a Level 2 response to achieve that 80% reduction. So with this tariff review, I do support the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I am not going to support this unless some things that I'm going to say here are corrected. I was intrigued by what was going on here when we had the informal, and maybe I took some notes that I think are right, but I didn't really find them in the filing that they initially made. But I had concern about this from the beginning when I read through this file. It kind of bothered me that we have this program, it's for up to 50%. Now, they essentially want us to come and break their contract with the people who voluntarily did that by allowing them to go to 60%. Well, maybe that's not a lot, but I also thought, okay, if you got these people to agree to do something up to 50% for $10, maybe as long as you're breaking the contract, you should be raising what they get to $12 if you want to go from 50 to 60. So that kind of bugged me. But then in listening in the informal hearing, it became a lot more concerning. Because my understanding of this is the old way, they could do 50%, but it was in 30-minute blocks. So your air conditioner on a hot day would run for 15 minutes and potentially be off for 15 minutes. But then after it was off, it would come back on for another 15 minutes. Well, that incrementalism is gone out of here. Now, it is 300 hours per year. And so my understanding is that could be, for example, from 4 to 8 every day during July and August. Well, I'll tell you what, the house gets pretty hot then. And it's expanded by the fact that we have our clocks 2 hours further ahead than what lines of longitude would suggest they should be, with being on central time and then daylight savings time. But the hot part of the afternoon is when people are getting home and using more electricity instead of being off at work somewhere. So eliminating that incremental part has really bothered me. And just their load management period, which is 300 hours, sometime over 4 months. They mentioned they plan to install two-way switches that could actually control temperature. And now, I didn't reflect back and find this. I've read things, and I'm talking about federal agencies now, not Xcel, but where regulatory leaders have called on that they think in order to shut down coal and rely more on renewables, that people's thermostats shouldn't be lower than 80 degrees in the summer. I don't want to live like that, and I don't want any of Xcel's people to have to live like that. So that part of this equation concerns me, and it bothers me that the Minnesota PUC ordered them to make more demand response on their system. So obviously the right thing to do is for North Dakota customers to suffer the consequences? No. Unless I'm wrong about some of these things, I'm sorry, I can't support this one.
So I share your concerns, but I assumed that with new terms, they'd have to go back to the customers and have a new contract. They don't just get to change the terms of the deal without allowing the customers to re-sign up.
That was my understanding, too, that this is a voluntary program. And because it's new, that they would have to
go back out. So yep. We okay, could so hold this off to confirm that. Maybe that would be the right approach.
And but as my understanding is, yes, they can opt out of their agreement to this. But I mean, how many people do that thing? I drove my car with XM radio for years, and I don't know who was paying for it, but it was whoever owned the car before I did. You know, people don't go back and cancel out of things like this very often. That's
well
one of the benefits of automatic deductions.
It sounds to me, if the company is changing that wants to change the program, then they have a new program they need to go out and get people to sign on to. And so I guess what you're raising warrants us confirming how the company was going to deal with its existing customers under this tariff.
And I'm okay with holding off on that. I don't know that that would cause me to vote for it either, but it might be a valuable thing for us to know. But I will say this, that I did bring it. I mean, there's a tariff here in this case that was filed, and then they refiled it later, you know, did some revisions to it, and I don't see anything about going back and reselling these, but maybe that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Well,
that was if you're changing the terms of something, you have to give customers the heads up, and they have to be able to accept the terms, or they don't just get to automatically change everything and not tell everybody. In my opinion, so that I'd like that clarification from the company.
I would support holding off in seeking that clarification unless Victor just walked in the room, unless he can substantiate anything for us. So just for the time element, if we have that, because Adam's gone.
Sure. So to the extent that the commission approves a change to a tariff, they wouldn't have to re-sign those customers up. Anybody who's currently enrolled in the program would continue to be enrolled. They wouldn't have to resell it to them.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to bring Excel back in and say, this, you know,
the expectation.
Change that requirement so that they do.
Sure.
So why don't we, what is the official mechanism?
You can either hold over or you can withdraw or you can defeat it.
Well, I think we should, for now, hold it over or withdraw it. Either one of those. Maybe withdraw so that we can not be
You'd have to withdraw the motion, and that would require that all three of you agree to withdraw the motion.
So let me just clarify. So withdraw it, and then all three of us have to agree, and then with the expectation that we bring NSP back in and clarify as far as the tariff revision and our expectation of, with this being a voluntary program and the change. Okay. I'll make the motion to withdraw.
Is there any opposition to withdrawing the motion?
No.
Motion is withdrawn.
Okay. And I think that wraps up our motions, our agenda for the day. And on our calendar here, let's see, we have a rail service and safety stakeholder discussion this afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Our annual.
I will not be there, and I hope you will pass this along, because we usually have a pretty good room full of people, but that legislatively approved ESG study that we don't control, but one of us participates on. And so I will be at Bank of North Dakota for that meeting this afternoon. Friday, we have a work session with Otter Tail, and in the morning, one with NSP in the afternoon. In between there, we have an informal with Assurance Wireless and some formal hearings on Summit Pipeline starting April 22nd. That will be over in Mandan. That's case PU-22-391 at the Baymont Inn and Suites. And that is scheduled for multiple days. We don't know how many, starting April 22nd. And our next regular commission meeting is odd day, April 29th on a Monday. Not that that day is odd, it's just odd not being on a Monday. And I don't remember what was the obstacle that was previously on the schedule, but that's the way the scheduling worked out, so we have about a 2.5 week break, and that will be here at the normal time. That concludes my announcements. With that, we will stand in recess and take some questions from the press.